is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist, Jefferson Mason, and marketing manager, Nick Bartlett, on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoopheads podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Linsing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. Tonight we are jumping on, Jay, to talk a little Bucks-Lakers. Just a quick little wrap-up of what to this point probably has been the most anticipated matchup of the NBA season. So based on what you saw tonight, just give me your quick hot takes.
So here's my hot take. I think the Lakers are a better team. Here's why. And this is a real hot take considering they lost this game, Mike. I'm just putting this out there.
All right, I'm curious to hear because I thought
the Lakers played probably about as terrible as they could have played. And they were in the game at the end of the game. You had LeBron was in foul trouble pretty much the whole second half. Anthony Davis has been injured. You could tell the way that he was moving, especially in the second half, that he was hobbled. Okay, the two of them in the first quarter were combined, I think, 1 of 15 or 2 of 15 for 5 points. The team played awful the whole game. I mean, at halftime they were down 19 or 21. They played terrible, and then they lost the game by 6 or 7. And, yes, LeBron turned the ball over 2 times over the last minute and a half or so. But I think my argument is I think the Lakers are a better team. They played like garbage, and they only lost by 7.
Okay, I'm going to go point-counterpoint on some of the things you said because as I watched it, I kind of got the opposite feeling. So, all right, LeBron in foul trouble. Giannis was in foul trouble for a lot of the game, had to sit. And it's interesting how Budenholzer uses him and how much he sits out. I mean, he's only averaging 31 minutes. I got to look. I'm trying to pull up the box score. Right.
That's also inflated because they've been blowing teams out by 40 points.
I agree. However, I'm just saying that he doesn't, you know, he's not playing a ton of minutes, I guess is my point. So tonight he ended up with 5 fouls and he played 32 minutes in what was theoretically the biggest game to this point in the season. So, and he was out at critical stretches there in the fourth. You know, he had to sit out from about, I think he picked up his 5th foul with about maybe.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, Mike, because, I mean, LeBron played pretty much the whole fourth quarter with 5 fouls.
I wouldn't have taken him out right there just because I felt like, I think it was with about 8 minutes to go, maybe he got his fifth.
You could totally tell when he came out of the game, Milwaukee just, they played like garbage. They played terrible. I'm pretty sure that's when the Lakers made their last run, so to speak, and then they put him back in, and that kind of ended it right there.
Yeah, so. But, I mean, even the run, I mean, they were up, I think they were maybe up 13 or something when he went out, and then the Lakers cut it down to maybe 8 while he was still out of the game, and then I think they had it down to 5.
They had it down to 5 at one point. I think it was 107-102 or something like that.
But it never really felt like it was in jeopardy. I mean, the two LeBron turnovers were killers. You know, he tried the ill-fated lob up there to Anthony Davis that I think one of the Lopez brothers, I think Brooke, got his hand on.
It wasn't Sideshow Bob.
No, and then the dribble drive where he tried the crossover and got it poked away. I mean, those were two big possessions where I still don't know that they come back and win, but
There's only one point that I didn't know what was going on was that pull up three he had. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about. Like, they had the ball in transition, and he literally dribbled the ball up the court and jacked up a three when he probably could have just gone to the lane and gone for an and one, and probably had a higher percentage of that going in than the jacking up three pointer because he did not shoot the ball well tonight. And I mean, these are all the reasons I think, like, they played so bad, and I feel like
there were a lot of bad LeBron things tonight. Like, a lot of the things that when we watched him here in Cleveland for so many years, there were a lot of those bad things that would tend to raise their head that you saw tonight. The two turnovers, kind of in those critical position, you know, critical possessions. We've seen that before.
Yeah, I will say the start of this game, like, it was kind of eerie because I spent today listening to a lot of the Book of Basketball podcast. Did you listen to that at all yet or not?
I listened to the whole thing, yeah.
So I'm like halfway through it, I think, or maybe an hour through it, when they talked about how it was like a slow, defensive, boring game, and I felt like the first quarter, I mean, it was what it was. It was just like punching and counterpunching, but no one was scoring. It was bizarre.
All right, so here's what I'll say to that. You know, you talked about how, you know, maybe the Lakers, the rest of the team, or, you know, they didn't play as well as maybe they could have. But, you know, the Lakers shot 46% from the field. They shot 34% from three. They shot 78% from the line. So it's not like they were, you know, completely horrible. What came across to me was the Bucks just have got a lot of good dudes. Like, not great. And I know that one of the things that I have said on here a few times is that the second best player on the Bucks, which I think probably you'd have to say is Middleton, is not as good as some of these other dynamic duos, the Lakers included. But the Bucks just roll out a lot of guys who can do stuff. Like, I strangely like Wesley Matthews a lot. I'm not sure why, but he just is tough, and I think he's a guy who in the playoffs, he's not going to be afraid to take big shots. He just strikes me as that kind of guy. You know, DiVincenzo had 5 points, didn't do anything spectacular, but he's a guy that... He's a guy who can play. I'm not afraid to have Connaughton in there. I'm certainly not afraid to have George Hill in the game.
Just don't have him shoot a free throw in the
right. Ilyasova's always solid whenever he's in there. Like, Ilyasova's the guy who, if I was rooting for the team that was playing against the Bucks, I would be like deathly afraid of Ilyasova. It always feels like he comes in and does something good.
Did you hear him say that? Did you hear him say that George Hill is leading the league in 3-point percentage?
I did. Well, 2 years ago, before the Cavs traded for him, in the middle of that season, he was leading the league in 3-point percentage.
I literally almost fell out of my chair, Mike. I couldn't believe that. I don't know why, but I just couldn't believe it.
Well, he's done it before to critical acclaim, so apparently he's doing it again. I had no idea, but I know he was doing it when the Cavs picked him up, whatever that was, 2-3 years ago.
So let's just hypothesize here. If they were playing each other in a 7-game series, you say the Bucks would win how many games? Like, how many games would it take to get 7 wins?
Oh, I mean, I think it's a 6 or 7-game series for sure. I mean, I don't think Milwaukee rolls through them. I think Milwaukee, though, they have guys that they can do things in the matchups. And, you know, I'm not sure that how good either one of the Lopez brothers is, but those dudes are gigantic. Like, at one point, they showed a shot on TV where Giannis and I think it was Robin Lopez were standing next to each other. And whatever, Giannis is 6'11 or 7 foot, and Robin Lopez was at least 3 inches taller than him. At least.
Was that with the hair or no?
It might have been with the hair, but I mean, he was legitimately, let's put it this way, his eye level was 3 inches higher than Giannis's eye level. Those two guys are just gigantic. And I think everybody they have is a physical defender that can guard different kinds of players. And then Giannis is just, I mean, he's good. I mean, he is just, I don't know what you do to stop him. He can go in, he can go out. I mean, he's shooting threes tonight. He made his free throws. I mean, he was 7 for 10 from the line. He rebounds. He's really, really good. And I don't know that even with Anthony Davis guarding him, he was pretty much able to get what he wanted. LeBron, I know, switched on to him a few times. And then Giannis spent a lot of time guarding AD at the other end. And then, you know, there were times where Davis was out of the game where he was still doing what he typically does, which is kind of floating around on the weak side looking for opportunities to come in and just swat shots. But I don't know. I just – the Lakers supporting cast makes me nervous. And then, you know, the other thing you mentioned is that, well, Davis is hurt and, you know, he's trying to come back off this ankle injury. Well, guess what? I mean – the odds of him being 100% healthy come playoff time, based on his history, I'd say are pretty small. I mean, I think he's going to have some dings, some nicks and bruises. And I don't know. I just – watching that game, again, cemented for me that I think right now Giannis is the best guy in the league. And I know he has to prove in the playoffs, and he came up short last year against Kawhi. But I think – the added dimension of him being able to, or at least being willing to shoot threes. And to me, his biggest Achilles heel now is the free throw shooting. If he can get the free throw shooting up to LeBron territory, where he's shooting between 70% and 75%, whew, I don't know what you do with the guy then.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, I just think maybe this is my LeBron fandom coming through. I just think that they played really, really bad at the beginning of the game, and they still could have pulled it out if a few bounces had gone their way. So I'm thinking, you know, I think they're pretty evenly matched. I definitely think they're pretty evenly matched. And I think it would be – I hope – I didn't pick this, but I'm kind of hoping for them in the finals to play each other. I think that would be a really exciting seven-game series, and I think it would kind of – almost in my head make up for the fact that LeBron and Kobe never got to play in the finals against each other.
It would be a fun series, there's no question. I mean, I think there's a lot of different potential matchups and things that, you know, could happen over the course of the series, and it would be very, very interesting to see how the Lakers over the long term, when they had time to really dig in and put together a game plan, what they would try to do to stop Giannis. And, you know, by the time you get to the end of the season, who knows what LeBron, where he's at physically. Again, we all keep saying that at some point there's going to be some decline. I mean, I don't know that you really see it. Again, he put up a 21, 12, and 11 tonight, and I would say probably if you really looked at it, would say by his standards, I don't know that he played super. I don't know that he played really well tonight. And look, both these teams are good. I think, you know, we've talked about it. These are the teams that I picked to get to the finals. I certainly wouldn't have had them at the records that they have now, especially when you think about the improved quality of, you know, especially the teams in the East. Milwaukee's got a little bit of a tougher road than they certainly might have had. You know, when you're thinking about last year, you know, there's more good teams in the East this year than there has been in the past. And then with the Lakers, I mean, nobody expected them to gel this quickly and get off to a 24-5 start. I mean, nobody saw that coming. Even people who said they were going to be good or thought they were going to be good didn't foresee this. And their road through the Western Conference is still going to be tougher, I think, than Milwaukee's through the East, despite the fact that the East is better. I think the Lakers could potentially have, for sure, two really tough series, and, you know, potentially a third, depending on how the bottom of the West shakes out and depending on what their injury status is at that point. So I don't know. It was a fun game. All three of those guys, you know, the big names in the game are fun to watch. I mean, it's awesome watching Giannis, watching LeBron. You know, we haven't gotten to see on a huge stage Anthony Davis. So it would be nice to see him go through multiple rounds of the playoffs and kind of see what he can do under the spotlight. And that would be a fun series. I mean, I think if that's the way that this NBA season concluded with Bucks-Lakers in the NBA Finals, I think most NBA fans who don't have a rooting interest for a particular team would probably be happy coming out with that.
All right, so we're gonna keep this short, but really quick, halftime of the Rockets-Clippers game. You want some interesting stats I find here?
So sure.
We got Westbrook and Harden combined for 22 points on 9 of 22 shooting, 1 of 6 from behind the arc, and 4 rebounds, okay? Kawhi and Paul George, 35 points, 14 of 22 shooting, 6 of 9 behind the three-point line and 11 rebounds. There you go. And even better than that, Westbrook's leading the team in scoring. He's got 15 and Harden only has 7 at halftime.
I got nothing to say. James, I mean, come on. The Clippers are better than the Rockets. I mean, there's no doubt. When the Clippers are at their best, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, you look down their roster, they're way better. Even if you somehow come to the conclusion that Harden and Russ are equal to, or should I say Brody, that Harden and Russ are the equivalent of Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. Even if you can stretch yourself to believe that, the rest of the roster for the Clippers is far superior to the rest of that Rockets roster. And I don't know, I'll go back to my take that I have all the time. I just don't think you can win at the highest level. I don't think you can win a title with James Harden as your best player playing the style that they play. And you know, I just don't believe it. Until he does it, I just don't buy it.
Got you. I completely buy into that. All right. The last thing we want to talk about real quick is the Toronto Raptors announced that Pascal Siakam is out indefinitely with a stretched out groin. Now, I don't exactly know what that means, Mike. Can you explain a stretched out groin?
A stretched out groin. I believe that is not a groin tear. I believe it sounds a little bit more significant maybe than a groin pull. So if he's out indefinitely, I believe that's what happened to Chris Paul when he went out in the Warriors series 2 years ago when they, you know, had a chance to knock off the Warriors. And a groin pull is definitely an injury that can linger. And so I think that's why you get the indefinitely. That's something that it's going to take a lot of rest, and I don't know how long. Probably everybody's different, but that's not something where he's going to be back in 2 or 3 days. And it's something that if you don't wait long enough, it's really easy to re-aggravate. So
I didn't even see this until just now because I was trying to read a little bit more. Gasol is also out indefinitely with a strained left hamstring, and Norman Powell is also out indefinitely with a subluxation to the left shoulder. The Raptors falling apart.
As it sits right now, they're in fourth in the East at 19-8. Philly's at 20-9. Indiana's at 19-9. Brooklyn's at 15-13. So you got to figure that worst case scenario for the Raptors, they're going to fall to the sixth spot if they struggle without those guys, which you imagine that they would, since Siakam has kind of become the focal point of what they do. But I don't think there's much chance that they fall down past number six. And as long as you're in that 3-6 range, I guess you don't have home court advantage in the first round. But, you know, like right now, let's just stop the season now and play the playoffs. Toronto's playing Philly with home court advantage. If you drop them to number six, they're playing the Heat without home court advantage. I don't know that either of those matchups makes any difference. As long as you're not falling to number seven or number eight, I don't think it matters. I think you're going to get, you know, you're going to have a tough matchup, regardless of where you are in that 3-6 range. And, you know, maybe if you get up to one or two, I mean, I think that's what'll be interesting coming down the end of the Eastern Conference playoffs is those six teams jockeying for position. Like the number two seed this year is going to be valuable because that's going to allow you to play a team that's maybe not in the same tier of teams as those top six. And so I think that two seed in both conferences is going to be very valuable because it's going to give you at least a little bit of a breather maybe in the first round comparatively to what you might have if you finish in the third through sixth slots.
Yep, I agree.
All right, anything else?
No, I don't have anything else right now.
All right, we're done for tonight. Thanks to everyone for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
As you've listened to the Hoopheads podcast, one common topic that continually comes up in our conversations is character. I'm fortunate to be associated with the Positive Coaching Alliance, a national nonprofit movement that provides valuable tools, training, and resources for coaches, athletes, parents, and administrators that is centered around sports and educational psychology and organizational behavior research. PCA combines this research with practical advice from a national advisory board of top pro and college athletes and coaches who utilize PCA principles at the highest levels of competition. Through a partnership with our local Cleveland chapter of the PCA, we are pleased to offer a discount code to allow you, our listeners, to take a PCA online course for just $20. To take advantage of this offer, visit the store on positivecoach.org and enter the discount code HOOPHEADS20. That's HOOPHEADS20 with two capital H's. Coaches, I hope you'll take advantage of this great offer from the Positive Coaching Alliance and help us continue to grow the game.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.